Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Nikki.
Welcome to Swipe Fat.
Where dating's hard.
But dating when you're fat is even harder.
So how was your first date? How was the ice cream?
With my 28-year-old?
Yes.
He was very, very sweet. We had a fun time. We shared the sundae.
The turtle sundae?
I know that was going to be your first question.
Yeah. Did you make the bridge in the middle or did you swap spit?
No, we definitely like ate from our own areas.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a big ass sundae. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, like I had a good time, but I could tell he was just not my person.
Mm-hmm.
I think anytime I leave those dates, I'm like, I got to find them someone.
I know. You have a little like horde of boys nice.
So nice, but or too young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I tried, but it's just not, you know, like make them all go to like a bar sometime and everyone can just come and meet them.
Yeah, because so many girls are like, wait, why not?
Because they're so respectful.
I know.
And just genuine and like really kind humans, you know, and I would love for it to be me, but it's not. We did talk about it more on the Patreon. If you're more interested in the details of that date, you can mm-hmm. always go and listen to it there, and become a Patreon member.
Yes.
Pushing that out. We have two episodes that we do, extra episodes a month. So you can go listen to them there. And also Nikki and I talk, we talk a lot more detail, like probably more than we should. So
yeah. If you ever wondered what happened, I get DMs constantly about what happened to the guy this summer. I tell you on Patreon because I don't need to put his business out here.
Yeah. It's a smaller group of peeps.
We're growing.
And that makes us feel better.
Yeah. We're growing as individuals. You know, remember how we got a Q&A?
Yeah.
And asking us if we would ever sign up for a matchmaker. And you and I were like, well, you were like, no. And I was like, maybe when I'm desperate and 45 and still single.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably not a good answer. But I remembered that I follow a matchmaker on TikTok.
Yes.
Her name is Simone Grossman, mm-hmm. and she is the internet Yenta on TikTok. And I mean, I love her handle. And she posts dating advice, but she also is like, I have a man in Chicago, 30s, like mm-hmm. looking for this, blah, blah, blah. And so I find it all so interesting. So I thought she would be a great guest for us.
Yeah. She works for a 3-day rule, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, she's always posting clients, like, on all coasts. So it's not just, like, wherever she is, which is so interesting to me. So mm-hmm. I was like, we need to learn more.
Chit chat.
Yeah, because what if, you know, we hate the apps. What if matchmaking is for us? I guess we're going to find out. Hi, Simone. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm honestly so excited to get into it.
I followed you on TikTok, I feel like, for so long. You're the internet Yenta, as your username implies.
It's such a cute name.
I know.
Thank you. I try.
And you're a matchmaker.
Yes, I am. I've been a matchmaker for 7 years at this point.
What made you get into that?
Totally by accident. I graduated art school and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And I, like many people in post-grad life, had like 6 jobs and was exhausted and didn't want to do that anymore. And my friend, my brilliant best friend, Cora, was starting her own date coaching business. And she was like, you should think about becoming a matchmaker. There's this company that is hiring people without any experience in San Francisco. And if you're interested, you should apply. And the application process was very similar to like a theater audition where they had us like role play and improv.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was already sort of like, okay, I know how to do this. I can yes. And they hired me and I worked for them for 2 years and it was like a really gnarly experience and I didn't like the company, but I really loved matchmaking. And then 3-day rule, I started working for 3-day rule, amazing sort of boutique agency out of LA, and just super like fell in love with it. And my fun like matchmaking story is that the first client that I was ever assigned ended up getting married to her first match.
Whoa.
So it was like beginner's luck, but also sort of like I was like, oh, this chose me. Like it feels sort of like fate and special. So that's what made me kind of stay with it as long as I have.
Yeah, the improv thing is like blowing my mind a little bit, but I guess it makes sense. Like, I don't know. I think like the things I've always heard about matchmakers really comes from like Bravo, Patty Singer. Yeah. And like, isn't she like a third generation like matchmaker or something? Like, I think
she is.
Right. And so it's sort of like you just think that this is like something that's inherently like something mm-hmm. you just like know or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I guess like how would it have started in the first? I think of like when I think of like a Yenta, like I'm thinking like this woman who is just like in tune with her community. And mm-hmm. like she just like knew everyone's everything. And that's why she was like good at like matchmaking. Yeah. Right. I mean, like.
Right. Totally. It's like you're in like you know your shtetl, and then you like you know what you're working with. But for like you know in modern day, it's like you know your clients and your network and mm-hmm. the internet is kind of so you have a more like a bigger playground to work with, which is makes it easier and so much more difficult at the same time.
Yeah, because you're going on. Sometimes I'm making TikToks, being like, I have this client that's looking for this.
Yes.
Does that ever work? Does that work? Like, do you get people from that? Oh, really?
Okay. Oh my gosh, all the time. I had a really interesting, so I've never been, I was living in Seattle and for the past 3 years and we didn't really work in Seattle. So I wasn't being recognized or like running into people, but I had two experiences. One, I have a new friend from the dog park because I have a dog and she was like, you look familiar. You sent me up on a date 2 years ago. And I was like, oh my God, I know who you are. Like, now we're friends. And the date didn't work out, but she was lovely. So that was a funny instance. And then I was at dinner on Sunday with a friend and someone came up to me and was like, you look familiar. And I immediately was just like, there's either we like met at a party or it must be matchmaking. And she was like, oh yeah, you had a British client that you were trying to set up on a date. And I was like, oh yeah, that one went viral. So yeah. I do sometimes like, I do have people that reach out to me from those TikToks that are amazing. And oftentimes like they might not be a perfect match for the person that I made a video about, but then I'll match them with other people. Mm. So it's been like, TikTok has been such a gift for finding those people that like maybe wouldn't, who are either afraid of matchmaking or it feels kind of inapproachable or spooky. And then you see me and you're like, no, I'm a person and like my heart is in the right place. Like, I hope you would trust me to, you know, set you up for 2 hours with a stranger. So it's been really, useful in that way.
Yeah. That's actually really why I wanted to have you on is because we did like a Q&A a couple of weeks ago and somebody asked if we would ever use a matchmaker. Mm. And both of us were like, no. Like we were like, no. And I was like, maybe like if I'm 50 and still single or 45 and single, like I do it. But I like it's so stigmatized.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is like when I started, I was 23 or 24 and I would say like even more so because now there's like Indian matchmaking and Jewish matching mm-hmm. making. It's like especially post pandemic. I think people are a little bit more sympathetic or not as mm-hmm. spooked.
Love those shows.
Yes, amazing shows, and the process is not the same as how I work, but it's relatively similar. Matchmaking is matchmaking. So I think even before when I would tell people, like, I would have so many conversations at, like, family reunions where people would be like, what do you do for a living? Like, my grandpa thought I was, like, a madam, and maybe still does, and I was like, Bob, it's very wholesome, I promise.
Bob. I love that. I called my grandpa by his first name too. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's like people would I think the immediate assumption there is that it's like, oh, they've exhausted every other option in their life, so they have to come to a matchmaker. Yeah,
right.
Like you're desperate.
Right. Which is really not true. Like I just started working with this 22-year-old who's amazing and like a heart of gold, like so cute, has so much going for him. And I think that it's actually really amazing that people are feeling like they are not so afraid to ask for help or get some mm-hmm. guidance. It's not, I mean, I wouldn't say that matchmaking is the same as therapy and it's not, you know, we don't have, degrees or anything. It's a little bit more sort of nebulous in how it can help. But I do feel like it's amazing that when people need a little bit of support or just someone who's like professionally interested in your romantic trajectory, it can help so much.
22, so young.
Yeah, I know. So young.
Are they like looking for marriage at 22 or?
No, he is just started working at a startup. And this is what attracts a lot of clients to me is like just started working. He is in sort of an intense hustle mode where he can't really be on his phone that much and doesn't like going out to bars and has very sort of like insular friend group. He was like, well, why can't I like streamline the process to something that like I'll know that I'll meet like three really great, like interesting people that are looking for the same thing. And he doesn't want to get married. I don't even know if he necessarily wants like a girlfriend with a capital G. He just like wants to meet somebody that he feels like a strong connection to. But most of my clients are people that I work with, some that are don't want sort of the exposure of like dating apps where like Raya is very like, I don't want to say oversaturated because what the hell does that even mean? But it's just like, you know, they want to know that they're not just putting their face out there to everyone who has an iPhone, that it's more like if they're looking for something and the other person or a potential match is also looking for them, it's a little bit more streamlined. Also like apps are really intense and not set up for everyone to win, as we know. And so having somebody to vouch for you, who knows you well enough, and can sort of talk to someone about why it's worth their time for you to meet, or that would maybe get filtered out through an app, is something that is extremely useful. Because I'm sure you guys have talked about this, or friends where it's like, oh yeah, the person that I'm dating or my, you know, X, Y, and Z, like I would have never swiped right on them if I'd like come across them on an app. It's not a perfect solution. And now that dating apps are so ubiquitous, we kind of rely on them as like the only way to meet people. So the rise of apps have become like, you know, have also in tandem had matchmaking become more popular as well.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have think that that's, but I guess that it does make sense because we're in this, like, I feel like the fall of dating app era, you know, like no one wants to be on them anymore, but it's like this like necessary, like evil, because how else am I meeting people? I don't know. I was talking to my uncle the other day, and he was, you know, like dating in the 90s in Chicago. And he was like, well, you know, where I would meet the most people, and you should probably do this too, is like, just like on the bus. And I was like, what? No one talks to each other on the bus, Uncle Pat. Like, God.
I'm avoiding eye contact at all costs just to make sure I don't get spit on.
He was like, one bus was called like the date bus. Like everyone was asking for each other's numbers, like on the way home. And I was like, that would be great. Like, can we go back to that like world? Because like he was just meeting people left and right.
Right, but everyone's on their phones now. Not to sound like an old man, but yeah.
I know. Well, my grandma used to say that she would get so annoyed about the phone thing. And I'm like, okay, but if you look at photos they took of like people on the trains and stuff, everyone's reading a book or in the newspaper. So like, it's always been something, right? Like,
yeah.
And I guess it was probably just easier to get someone's attention because now everyone has noise-canceling headphones. Like, get the fuck out of my space.
Right.
I feel like there should be a rule that if you haven't dated since 2015 or like before,
not to give advice.
If you stop dating before 2015, just stop. Like your advice doesn't apply anymore. Right?
Yeah. I totally agree.
I would even say earlier than that or later than that. Like since the pandemic or post pandemic even, like it's so different. Everything is so different. There's like, I've been doing this a long time.
I'd love to hear like what is actually like the most like grating advice that you find people often give you, unsolicited or solicited.
It'll happen when you least expect it, or like that one's so annoying, or you just have to put yourself out there more. You have to try. You have to give more people like chances. You should date like it's a job. Either don't try or put
or
all
try
your
so
effort
hard.
Into yeah. Like there's, right. It feels like there's no in between, or you're too picky. You should just date anybody who will give you a chance. Basically, that's what they're saying.
Oh God, what a horrible thing to be told.
Yeah, I think it's the like, why don't you give him another chance? That advice. Because I'm like, okay. And I did for so long. Like, I would go on like second, third, fourth dates. I don't even like them. And I'd be like, I gotta give it another chance.
It sucks.
But I think there's this hard thing where it's like, if I say it's like a gut feeling, people like don't trust you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially because I think everyone now is like, well, what about the slow burn? And it's like, but if you're not even like, I don't know, you tell me, Simone, but like if I'm not even like attracted to them, or I don't even really like, I'm not even having a good time, then it's not worth it. Right.
I mean, like, no, totally. I actually think like I have a whole, I talk about this a lot, but I really feel like there is some deeply fucked up, like very coded language around like dating advice geared towards women about that, mm-hmm. of like ignoring. And I do think like ignoring the spark, I've kind of gotten over that, where it like, it does mean something else other than like, you know, settling, which is what I used to think when I was younger and I read it. Like, I think Logan Urie has some really amazing points, but I remember reading that and being like, what does she mean? I think this is wrong. And now I'm kind of like, okay, I get it. But yeah, I do think it's like, and this is something that I'm really particular about with my clients, because I also think like one of the things I hear from people that have had bad experiences with matchmakers is that they also feel like they're being pushed on their preferences or ignored. And I never want my clients to feel like that. Like, I always tell them when I first meet them, like, you're hiring me because you want someone to have a bird's eye view of your dating life, and I will be that for you. But I'm never going to push you or tell you to ignore your gut, because your compass will always point north ultimately. Like, I have a couple of female clients I'm working with right now, and one guy, she was just like, he doesn't have that edge that I'm looking for. Like, it's just that thing that's missing. And I was like, I hear you. Like, I'm not going to, he's a nice guy. He treated you well, but that's not enough. And like, I'm never going to tell you that that's enough, because I think that's fucked. Yeah. And wrong, but it is true. It's like the, you know, when you're like, after a fourth date, it makes you feel horrible. You're like, God, like what is, it's diminishing returns. And to try to like, you know, generate this feeling within yourself when it doesn't exist is one of the worst feelings ever. Yeah. And I think that's the easiest way to burn out. So you should cut it loose. I mean, a second date is like, a second or third date, if you're unsure, is great. Like when I met my boyfriend, I was like, after our second date, I was so neutral. And then our third date, I was like, oh my God, the like love of my life is the best person ever. I could have, if I had never seen him after the first date, I wouldn't have been like wondering where he was at. So
like neutral, let me explore this a little bit more. But because like, I think there's this like feeling too, where it's like, we're not sure. But it's like, when you say neutral, do you mean like, you were like, I have fun with him, but I'm not sure like he's like my person. Is that kind of like the feel? Okay. So it was like you were still having like a good time, but you were like, this feels like friendly. Like, I still think he's cute, but I'm just not sure there's like something there.
Yeah. Okay. Friendly, cute, like fun, but I didn't necessarily feel any sort of like even chemistry, honestly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That helps. Because I think there's like a difference between, I don't know, like I went on a date recently and he was so nice. And like, did I have fun? Sure. But like, I feel like I can have fun with a lot of people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't know. I just like, there's nothing about me that wanted to like, I don't know, kiss him at that point in time. But then I'm like, should I give him like, I mean, I'm not going to, because I know in my heart that it's like not for me, because there's like a lot of other stuff that I, you know, background stuff. But like, if you're just looking at personality, right? Like, I guess if he had all of the right, sorry, I feel like I'm going in so many directions. I feel like if he had all of the right things in terms of like, we're in the same life stages, like I would probably have given it another shot, but we weren't. So it's sort of like, I guess like it doesn't make sense. So like, why would I do this again?
Can I ask some follow-ups if you're comfortable? So what do you mean, like different life stages? And were there things that like actually, I don't want to say ick, but like, were you like, oh, this is like.
Yeah, there were some icks. And I just feel like energy was like just not the same. Like we weren't bouncing off of each other. Like it was like mainly me talking. And he did say like when we were in the like talking stages before the date that he likes someone else to like do most of the talking. And I don't mind talking a lot, but like I want there to be like a bounce energy there. Like, and if you just at some point become silent, it makes me feel like you're bored or I'm talking too much, but I can't stop myself. So I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Then that's different. I'm glad that you've decided that. Yeah. I think it's like when you're not sure, but you're still like, there's something to explore, then I think that's fine. But yeah, I've had that feeling too. And I've had clients say that too, where they're just like, I know it's not it. And if you know, then you know, like we can't ignore our intuition.
I think there's a thing though, like especially with plus size women, where we were told we should give somebody a second chance because there's like the outside voice of like, well, who else is going to like you? But then you have the internalized like that too. And then when outside, like it's like this whole battle, like going back and forth. So like, I think, you know, Alex growing and like knowing like that he's not and cutting it off after one date is so like great.
It's an internalized thing too. It's like outside sources being like, well, are you sure? And I think that's to everybody, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think it's just to plus size people, but do I think it happens to us more? Yes. Mm-hmm. Because they're like, okay, but you found someone who likes you. So you should try harder.
Right.
I think there is a little bit of that, but I think it's also then internalized in us where we're like, oh my God, like, don't be difficult. Like, take what you can get. And I think that's an all-encompassing female woman blah 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 thing, but I think it's worse for us, and then we take that in and we're like, okay, well then I gotta try a little bit harder. But yeah, I went on a date with this guy who he only spoke probably for the whole time, and I was like, he was fine. And I went on like 4 dates with him, and I didn't like him like at all. But I was like, gotta keep trying. And then I found out later he was like an alcoholic. And he didn't like his family. It was off that like did not even jive with like what I was looking for. But I was like, well, he's here. So
I can't imagine. And I feel like that is also because, it is true that for women, especially, but I know it's dating is difficult for everyone, but for women especially, you're also not only navigating what you're looking for, but you're also fighting these other forces and also being someone who is plus size, like to also be navigating, yes, that pressure of like, well, you should be grateful, and pressure from family that's like so deeply insidious is like so many things to balance. Like,
I think even from other plus size women, because like, you know, I met that guy in the wild, and I've met some other people in the wild, and I feel like it happens more when you like meet them in person, because they're like, oh my God, they like you, so about you, I have to try again. And that I think that's, I don't know, from other plus size women is sort of like, but I never get a hit on, so it's like they want to like they're like, I need you to go through this because like it doesn't happen, so you got to do it for us, and like explore that for us, because if it were me, I would be exploring it more. And so then there's this like added, I don't know,
you're the test subject.
Yeah, like
right, I have some a whole other layer
plus size friends, and they'll be like, oh, but try. I feel like they're the ones who are always pushing it more than anyone else, because I think they're kind of like, well, I don't get hit on or asked out or given my no one is asking for my number, so if you are, then like you gotta do it.
Interesting.
It's like a weird, I think there's so many layers to like plus size dating that makes it like so much like harder. And then I feel like there's this like guilt thing. I'm also Catholic, so that doesn't help. And you know, like there's just so much in you're like, okay, just, and being a woman, like, you know, just take what you can, comes really like difficult. It's officially fall, and that means sweater weather is coming.
And you know that pairs perfectly with savory fall foods, but with our busy schedules, sometimes it's hard to take the time to make the foods we want to be eating.
That's where Factor comes in. Their chefs do the shopping and the chopping to bring you fresh, never frozen, fully cooked meals right to your doorstep. All you have to do is heat and eat.
When it comes to meals, everyone wants the same thing. Options. That's why Factor offers 35 wholesome meals every week, so you'll always find something you love that suits your lifestyle.
And there's more to Factor than just lunches and dinners. From easy breakfast and smoothies to delectable midnight snacks, Factor has over 60 plus add-ons to keep you fueled and focused 24/7. And with a plethora of flavors, you'll never get bored.
This fall, you've got a lot going on outside of the kitchen. Keep your plans and turn to Factor. They deliver fresh, nutritious, chef-prepared meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Head to factormeals.com/swipefat50 and use code swipefat50 to get 50% off your first month and 20% off your next month. That's code swipefat50 at factormeals.com/swipefat50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next. I don't know about you, but when I have my period, I am a super bloated and all I want are some fries.
Yeah, I have so many cravings. I'm down. My body just feels off. I feel so uncomfortable.
Are you sometimes not able to sleep?
Always. Like, it's I thought I was the only one that dealt with that. What do you, wait, you don't sleep too?
Yeah.
I'm up all the time. I thought it was just my cortisol levels. I've heard about hormone harmony, which can help eliminate some of the things we feel when we're PMSing.
Yeah, I'm actually trying it right now, and I really like it because it contains science-backed herbal extracts called aptogens. Now, here's the beauty about aptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout your life.
So hormone harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But if you are struggling with menopause or perimenopause symptoms that put your life on hold, like hot flashes, racing thoughts and low moods, or poor sleep like we suffer from, Hormone Harmony can help with any of those things.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and it's third-party tested.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWIPEFAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWIPEFAT for 15% off today.
With those friends, if you've told them this anecdote of a guy coming up to you, like, are you reluctant to say yes? Or are you like, I will just do this for the sake of exploring? Like, is there something that's almost fun about being that like test subject, as you said?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely, if someone asks me out in person, I will usually go because it feels like there's the initial attraction is there. And if I'm attracted to them too, like, you know, I'm not going to go out with them if there's like a weird thing or like they gave me like pause or something like that. I'm a hopeless romantic. So I think like anytime too, like if I'm being approached in like at a bar or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, such a meet cute. I love this for me. So I don't mind it. I think it's like, you know, going through like the first thing and then being like telling people like, well, it was a no. And they're like, what? How is it a no?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the part that gets like awkward. You know, I'm like, oh, sorry. Sorry I failed for all of us.
I'll try again another time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do resonate though with the guilt of like, I remember like, you know, even in my late 20s and like at 30, when I was saying that I wasn't interested in someone or a relationship didn't work out, like there was this intensity of like, but why? Like,
yeah,
I felt bad every time. I was like, well, I just didn't feel it. Like, I don't even, it's still hard for me, or it was hard for me when I was single, to be like, that is enough, to just be like, I'm not.
Yeah. And I mean, I've definitely been guilty of it too, you know, doing it to other people. I'm like, but why? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure, single and same. I don't want to be single, you know? So like, how can you not like figure it out? I mean, I think like there's this like thing of like trusting people to know that they know. And I think it's harder when you're single later in life too, because people think you are just being picky, or that you're not trying hard enough. And, you know, like, I've thought that of some of my own friends, unfortunately, because, you know, like, I think there is just this thing of like, okay, well, you're not even like, feels like you're not trying. And, but you can't like make a puzzle piece fit if it doesn't fit. So, I mean, I feel like now I'm older, I like get it more, but, it's hard to like see it when I think you're in the trenches of being like, I feel like early 30s is like the time period when you start to like panic and in the world. And when that's when I feel like this was like more of that was like starting to happen, where it was like in your early mid 30s where everyone was like, ah, why can't you just make it work? Yeah. And there people are out there just making it work because they do want to be in a relationship. Right. So I think there's a little bit of that too.
But that's like, I think that's the thing that especially as a matchmaker, but I think the work of all of us to do is like, what is that arbitrary, like what is getting in our own way versus like what is our intuition? Because it's not always so cut and dry.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Sometimes I don't always know. Like with my clients, even sometimes, like there have been instances where I've been really glad that I've pushed someone in a way that like was maybe uncomfortable for me in the beginning, and then they get married and it's like amazing. And then sometimes I'll still be like, you know, I'll ride really hard for this match and be like, you have to meet them. Like, I know they don't seem like your type on paper of X, Y, and Z, and then they really don't click. So that's where the like sort of art versus science comes in. But
I was just gonna say that is like therapy then, because you are like doing this like little bit of like, I don't know, trying to heal someone from doing the same behaviors over and over.
Totally. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm certainly not, I'm deeply underqualified, but I do think like, I think my personal, well, I work primarily with men, and I have for the past couple of years, I've started to take on more women clients, but I feel like my like mission or what makes me like get up in the morning is that like, one, I really want to make sure women feel empowered and like dating is positive for them and not this like bleak wasteland. And then I think for men to like get out of this patriarchal view of dating and the way that they compartmentalize and like see women, not all of my clients are like this, and but like sometimes there's this association of like status with partner that I think men unfortunately need to get out of. That isn't their fault, but often is learned.
Both ways. We date people for social currency.
Totally. Yeah, women are guilty of that too. Yeah.
100%. So you have predominantly male clients. You and I spoke and you said you have had some plus size male clients, but have you ever like the process of like they sign up, like they probably like fill out all of their preference sheets. Has anybody ever just been like, do they do the preference sheets
like we're on Below Deck?
Yeah. Right? They have preference sheets, right? Or like what they're looking for? What are they called?
Yeah, preference sheets. That's what we call them.
That's funny.
Yeah. No grilled cheeses. Dairy.
I was just watching Below Deck, so I think it's stuck in my mind. Sailing Below Deck.
I love
started.
Below Deck.
I know, me too. he had to make so many proteins, poor guy. Okay, keep going, sorry.
But have you ever had a guy like lay out all these things where basically like it just feels like they hate women, like all women?
There are some times where I think that men are guilty of really looking the outside in, and it does concern me, but I only work with people that I feel I can represent well. So I've turned down clients before because of instances like that where I'm like, that's not what I do. What you're looking for is a service I can't provide and I'm not interested in providing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know exactly what you mean, where it's like even describing like body features that they're attracted to, I'm like, well, women are inherently curvy, and so to like love curves is like by transitive property to love women. So if you don't, I'm confused. Like, yeah.
Basically, I really want to know if anybody's been like, no fat bitches.
No. Some people have preferences about like lifestyle, like if they want somebody that is fit. And sometimes I will see coded language around like health is equated to body type, which as we know, isn't true. So yeah, some people will express what they're looking for, what they're typically attracted to. But I feel that a lot of people are a lot more open-minded than I think the world would assume. Especially because the relationship between a matchmaker and a client is inherently transactional. And so there is this thing of like, I'm paying you to look for what I want. And so people get very candid with you about what they're attracted to. And it has actually been not only like, has also been healing for me because I started this so young that it's like, I think we have this invisible jury all the time through media of what we think is beautiful and what we're supposed to look like. And then we assume that men are that filter or whatever you're attracted to also represent that. And it's actually like surprisingly and wonderfully not true. Like I've really been surprised by how people's conceptions of beauty are so varied in like the best way.
That's why I think dating apps have like ruined things, because it's like, I think sometimes if you ask my trolls, they'd be very surprised how many times I get hit on in person because, you know, they think I'm this like disgusting human or whatever. But it's like I think it just if you met someone at a bar or you met someone at a restaurant or wherever, I don't think you think about that stuff as much as you think you do. And I feel like that's also why social media, I think, has like ruined some stuff. It's like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm looking at a picture of your wife in your profile, sir. And I don't know like what to tell you here, but she is also plus size. Or like someone in your life is plus size and you're just like making fun of plus size people. It just doesn't like, I don't know, make sense.
Yeah. No, it's true. And we kind of like with apps and with social media, we reduce people to these signifiers of some kind of like distillation of meaning that is inhuman. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like people's behavior is informed accordingly. Whereas, yeah, when you meet in a bar, you meet organically or in an office or something, you like, I know that men and women fall in love and are attracted differently, but you do kind of like, you're confronted with someone's humanity in a way that you're not through a screen.
Yeah.
And then you're more charmed or endeared to someone because of it. Like, yeah, it is. It's weird how, yeah, if someone is trolling you who has a plus sized wife, like what is the cognitive dissonance there? Like, I don't know what that is, but
I don't know.
Yeah. Weird stuff. But yeah, I do think like matchmaking isn't perfect, but I do often feel like it's an antidote to, or, you know, at least some alternative to that kind of black and white thinking.
Okay. Let's get down to like the brass and tacks. How does matchmaking work from like, how, say I wanted to sign up, what would I do? I'd reach out to you and then what happens?
So what happens from there is like you and I would hop on a call. I would understand what you're looking for. Like I was kind of saying just a minute ago, if you had preferences that were so esoteric or like unbelievable that I couldn't do a good job for you or deliver, I would tell you. But if it feels like what you're looking for is reasonable and I think that we would make a good team, then we'd make sure that like we were on the same page about your, we'd fill out your preference list together. I would meet with you for an hour over Zoom just to understand like the exact sort of like on paper and then the nuances. And then I would start setting you up from there. And it's like the welcome meeting is, I always tell my clients, like, I don't expect to know everything about you in an hour. It's sort of a jumping off period. But matchmaking is very iterative, where you tell me like in abstract what you're looking for. And then I set you up on a date. We see if that person has those qualities, whether or not it like really clicked or if we want to go in a different direction. And then the process repeats for however long you wanted to work together, whether that was like 3 months or 6 months or a year. And I really love to work very closely with my clients. So like, I like to have phone calls. I like to know how their dating life is going externally of the matches I set them up with, because I feel closer to my clients. And then also with that, I can match them better, but that's basically how it is. And I think there's a couple of other 3-day rule. And also there's a couple of other like mid-tier matchmaking companies for like, you know, that it's still very expensive. Mm-hmm. And that's hopefully changing so that we can like help people that don't have thousands of dollars to spend on a matchmaker, because right. That's very few people. But that's how most matchmaking companies for the regular people work. And then of course there's like super like, you know, there's the Patty Stanger
elite
like millionaire
ones.
Yeah. But that's like, I don't even know exactly how that process works.
Well, if we're watching the TV show, not great.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to be a part of that.
Yeah, I was like rewatched some. It was there was like they were showing some the other day. Did you watch them too? I was like, wow, this is so bad in terms of like I can't even imagine having someone talk to me about my body that way or my appearance or whatever. And I just remember watching it being like, oh my god, Patty's so right. Like,
she's
how
so funny.
Fucked up was I. Like, living in this 2000s world was fucking scary.
Yeah, I know. It is. I was rewatching. One of my friends is very into it, and we were watching it together. And I forget what episode. It was like she threw a party. Maybe this is what she does for every episode. I haven't seen all of them, but like
she threw a lot party of parties. Where she's
like, oh, okay, so that's like pretty standard. But yeah, she's so like, mean. I don't want to say rude to her clients, but she's like really like candid with them in a way that I never could. Like I'm a lot more.
Sometimes I appreciate it because she would be like, you don't care about like women. And I do think that she was right in some respects, but I'm like, also, I don't think you care about women either. Like you were basically like, hey, can you wear this skin tight dress or don't show up? You know, she told one girl not to wear glasses. I'm like, like if you're presenting every single girl as like a cookie cutter, like on the outside, like that's problematic. but that's what she would do. She'd like make everyone look the same and then be like, okay, but then get into their personalities. And it's like, you're just catering to a male gaze then that like doesn't make sense. Right.
Right. And I get what she's trying to do, but it's same. Like in a sensibility that's not helpful.
Just old school mentality of like, you know, we want to get them out of that thinking of like what you were saying, Simone, of this patriarchal, like, I don't know, idea of what a woman should be, but then we can't be doing that. And not every girl is going to look like they serve cocktails at a bar. Like she would make everyone look like they were bottle girls.
Yeah.
That's so funny. But also that's like funny because it's like through the lens of, I'm not saying this is Patty's taste, but like not everyone, that doesn't appeal to taste, everyone anyway. Yeah. Right. So it's just
she
so
was in
funny.
LA. So I guess like maybe.
Yeah. Like, probably more than,
Yeah, like maybe if we were in Seattle, everyone would look like a barista. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. With like a Patagonia vest.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe there's something to that. You know, they all want a cocktail bar girl. I don't know. But I don't. None of them came in asking for anything like different. So, but it's part of the show, I guess. Sorry, my matchmaking knowledge is really just that, and then. Indian matchmaking, so I keep going back to these outdated well, not Indian matchmaking that outdated, but like the Patty Stanger of it all is very, very outdated.
They should get Patty a show like now and see what happens.
I think she does have one. It's just on a streaming service somewhere.
I thought she had a podcast or something. I was listening to her talk the other day. This is like another sort of like bone I have to pick with gendered dating advice, that like very much about the like I don't chase, I attract thing, or like being in the intensity of the feminine versus masculine energy. And she was talking about how like you should absolutely not reach out after first dates or X, Y, and Z. And that always like, I do think it's nice, and like I also appreciated when like I had more sort of material proof when I was dating of someone taking initiative. But I do feel like this new wave of like letting a man do everything is really dangerous and like unhelpful ultimately. Mm-hmm. Like you want someone to like, you need reciprocity and like you need someone to match your energy, but having worked with men for so long, they are just as scared of rejection as women are, and are also very much like looking for cues of like green lights too. And of course there are some people that are obtuse and like, you know, some men don't know whatever, but a lot of them are trying to be like, oh, I didn't, because like, I didn't think she was interested. And all of this dating advice that we're getting about like not making the first move or not even texting a thank you, I'm like, what the fuck is that? I have so many clients that were like, oh my God, she texted me after the date and it made me feel amazing. And now I'm like feeling more confident and excited to like go out on a second date. And I just wish that like women knew that. And like and when I was dating too, I was like, the best thing that I've learned from watching my clients date is like enthusiasm is so sexy and will move the needle forward in whatever way you want. Even if this isn't your person, like your dating life will improve so much if you're just like,
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the dating advice out there right now is like, be cool. Yeah. And don't show interest and be cool. Like, don't. It's like, that's, we're already in a world where everyone's on their phones anyway. Like showing that you are into whatever. If they aren't into that, then you shouldn't, then they're not your person, right? Like, if they're not also enthusiastic about hanging out with you or, like, whatever. I mean, there is a thing of, like, maybe, like, you know, getting too excited too quickly or whatever.
Sure.
But like, I don't think, you know, maybe like asking to do too many plans that, you know, like, mm-hmm. let's not like go too far here, but like showing excitement or like, you know, being like, oh, I thought about you when I saw this or something. I don't think that's a weird thing. Like, I think that that's nice.
Yeah. Big breath of fresh air and like taking mm-hmm. a big swing. And obviously you want to like be keeping pace with the other person where you're not like triple texting or whatever. But
right.
I think that most people intuitively understand that, and that in order to actually stand out is like by just taking a leap. And I also think it's ridiculous this like be difficult because men value the things they have to work for more. Like, I'm just like, I don't know if that's true. I mean, that logic is just kind of flawed to me.
Just like playing so many games. And it's like, I don't want to have to play a game. I'm too tired for games.
Right.
This is yeah. too old for games. I'm not 23 anymore.
When you're so used to the games, when you actually are talking to somebody who's genuine, it can be kind of scary. Like, it can be like, I don't know. I've like freaked out like when somebody said they were excited to see me and been like, why are you telling me that? Like, I had to like check myself and be like, what's wrong with you? Like,
totally. Which is more difficult to confront too, because then you're like, oh, what? It's that weird internalized like wrestling with yourself where you're like, mm-hmm. well, I'm not worth this, or there's something like sticky in there. And yeah, I get that.
I've never been treated right, apparently. Like,
right.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to find you, where would they find you? On TikTok at the Internet Yenta?
Internet Yenta. And then I have an Instagram that has links to like the dating pool and 3-day rule if you're interested. And that is Matched by Simone. And then you could also look me up on the 3-day rule website. We all have our little matchmaker pages with my testimonials if you want to see.
So basically you can put like your hat in the ring mm-hmm. in a like a, I don't know, fill out a preference sheet and
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, it's nice because also matchmakers will reach out to you to interview you just to get a better sense of what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then we'll reach out to you. So it's also just fun to like talk to someone and maybe like, you know, when you're put on the spot about what you're looking for, mm-hmm. they'll ask you questions you haven't thought about. So it's fun and informative no matter what.
Very cool.
I feel like it would be a missed opportunity if I don't ask you before we get off with you. Do you happen to have any men in Chicago
that yes! need
women who are 30, you know, mid-30s and late-30s?
Absolutely. Chicago is one of our, like, bigger metros. So are you guys in the pool? Because you should be.
We should be.
I don't think I am.
I'll send you, I'll put my link in the thread so that I can interview you guys and put you into our pool, because I'd love to keep you in mind.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. I think she kind of changed my mind.
Yeah. Are we going to sign up for the pool?
I will sign up for a pool.
Yeah. That's no money off of our, like, you know, backs.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had the funds mm-hmm. to pay for something like that, because it would be nice to have someone do all the work for you.
Yeah.
I don't like, have to do this myself.
The vetting process would be so nice.
Mm-hmm. I had my friend run my account for a while. This was back when I was mm-hmm. probably like 26 or 27. And she got me more dates, I'll tell you that. But
are they dates you wanted to go on?
Yeah, I mean, some of them were. I think the one that came out of that was that the biggest story that I don't know how I went on so many dates with that man who the weird one who was like, I'm going to sleep in a homeless shelter because I want to find out what it feels like. And I was like, what?
Is that the same guy that wanted to join Scientology and tried to take you for a pedicure?
Yes. It wasn't Scientology. He wanted to join this like commune thing. It's here in Chicago. It's like a communal living. Okay. It felt very culty because he made me tour it with him.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is weird. It wasn't just like communal. There's a bunch of places where you can do the communal living thing. Like in Chicago, like you get a smaller pod and everyone shares like a dorm room.
Like, and you cook, one person cooks a meal. And that sounds nice.
This is not what that was. Okay. Yeah. It was like, I'm pretty sure rooted in some sort of theology or ideology. And it was He was like, this is great. And I was like, in what world? Also, why are you taking a bed from a homeless human?
Yeah.
When you have a perfectly good house, go sleep on the actual street.
Privilege.
A lot of privilege. A lot of privilege. A lot of privilege.
Okay. Well, I mean, you and I have both swiped for each other before, and I ended up accidentally matching with your ex. So yeah. I just, maybe somebody vetting things would be nice. I think, like, it doesn't hurt to sign up for the pool.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. I don't hurt.
Think. Yeah, why not?
I mean, nothing's working right now, so.
True. True. No okay. dates for me.
we can do some homework and do that and see what happens. Because if we sign up and nothing happens. But what if we do sign up and we end up getting engaged like that one plus size Chicago client she told us about before she got off the phone? So,
huh. Yeah, you never know.
Possibilities.
Possibilities are endless.
Follow along with us on Instagram and TikTok at Swipe That.
And if you're not a part of our private Facebook group, join that too.
Just search Swipe That Podcast.
And if you love us, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review.